Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, man.
We're bafana chacha ni zindugu.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is December 5th, 2023. This here is Season 7, Episode 404. Open mic is tonight. On tonight's Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, we'll be having an open mic discussion on current events. The Republicans are trying to ban reparations for foundational black Americans, descendants of African slaves, freedmen in certain states and cities in 2024. The bill, H.R. 4321, would prohibit the federal government from providing financial assistance to states, local counties, and municipalities that approve reparation laws in the great state of Texas. Yeah, oh, Governor Bud down there with his garbage. The Texan lawmakers are trying to block federal funding for states that create laws to pay reparations for slavery, and the Democrats are desperate to keep us on the Democratic plantation. Okay, we're going to open up our mics right here. Okay, 520, the last three, 529 is open. We got an unknown caller. Okay, we're going to open his mic, and then we have 720 out of Colorado. Last three is 470. Greetings all, and come on with it. It's open mic. What's on y'all's mind in these troubling and trying times here in December of 2023? And the air date of this episode, once again, is December 5th, 2023.
Greetings, Shabaka.
Greetings from the Maha Income City.
Okay. Greetings, Brother Che. Greetings, Sister Akshada. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you, ma'am, and thank you so very, very much for sharing, you know, our episode this evening. Okay, so what's on y'all's mind?
What's on my mind is these Democrats. These Democrats are very desperate for our vote. They're pulling out all the stops. It ain't even 2024 yet, and they already on their fear-mongering and condescending behavior.
Yes, sir. Okay. All righty, Sister Akshada, what's on your mind now?
I can't say that I necessarily have anything specific on my mind this evening. I'm calling in to support the show and to get in pretty much where I fit in. I'm broadcasting live this episode can be heard by others, and if others want to join in, they are more than free to do so. Like, this is open mic.
Absolutely.
So call in.
Absolutely, and thank you so very, very much, Sister Akshita. Yeah, you are one of our original contributors. And then we're going to hear from the one and only Mr. Che Nkrumah, you know, who was a candidate for the mayor of the city of Denver, and also, too, you know, he does his weekly thing, you know, helping the elderly with his food program and what have you. You know, and most definitely, we got to hear from him, our co-executive producer and co-host, Brother Che. What's going on?
Yeah, like I said, Shabaka, the Democrats are desperate. We got the shills out
right
here trying to tell us that we, if we don't vote, then we're going back in the chains, and it's just gonna hit Texas and Florida, all over the country. And all this
right
shit, and it's like, what are we voting for? We've been voting for 60 years. It'll be next year for the Democrats, and we ain't got nothing tangible for it. They keep telling us to
yes,
go out
sir
and vote. Vote for who? Vote for what? For reparations,
exactly.
We vote for tangibles. Then I offer us no tangibles, and we're not voting. And it's about time that black people just sit this one out.
Yeah.
If we're not
yeah
getting
and
nothing tangible
we'll
for it, send it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then also, too, we just found out. Yes, sir. And that's why I appreciate and recognize those who are talking about third-party candidates is because, you know, the Democratic Party, you know, they were the ones who brought you the Ku Klux Klan, you know what I'm saying, during a Reconstruction era. So we want to get that out there. But it is important to get out and vote is because a lot of people did die for the right to vote during the Black Empowerment era and during the Civil Rights Movement. And then, of course, you know, you got these weird agendas, artificial intelligence, and things of that nature right there. Okay, and greetings to our unknown caller there with all these warrants across the board. I have an idea of who I think that is. Unknown caller, your mic is on mute. Is that you, Sarge, reporting for duty? Okay.
No, I think this is
Sarge.
Me, Shabaka. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Okay, who is me right here? Oh, let me guess.
Oh,
the one and only. Yeah, Solutions. Okay, Solutions, is always a pleasure to have you, my man. Okay, and you're educated,
yeah, thank you.
And I do know the word is educated. Okay, so what's on your mind? And you tend to agree, disagree with us on things, but which is all fine. Okay, what's on your mind?
Right. Now, I read you, Shabaka. I know you know what's going on. But, no, I was just
mm-hmm
listening. Look, I don't have a problem with reparations personally myself going to, I guess, melanated
mm-hmm
Americans. Maybe there needs to be another name that's more definitive.
No, it's not melanated Americans. No, Solution. It's not melanated Americans. It's foundational
hold on,
black
hold
Americans
on a minute. Hold on a minute. Okay. I was about to say something else.
Go ahead,
how
listen
are you, Mr. Che? How are you? I was going to say you guys used the term foundational, and that may cover a little bit more
mm-hmm
or carry a little bit more weight. But, you know, I would say the money is going to be spent here if it's ever distributed, but you have to understand this. A lot of people that you don't think that can qualify for that money will definitely be in competition for it. And so
mm-hmm
I just think you need to be cognizant of that. It would never be
who is going to be in the running for that? It's lineage. It's not race. So you just can't be black and get it. You have to have a specific lineage in order to qualify.
Hey, what does that mean, Che? Can you be specific
well
about what
that means?
Because
that
I've never heard
be
of what you
said. Yes, I can be very specific. That means that you can trace your lineage back to the killing fields of the South, the 1870 census, which is the first whole countrywide census that was in. If your family's name is on that, you qualify. If you're listed as a freedman only if you're listed as a freedman, not a free person of color, not an immigrant, not any of that stuff. You have to be a freedman, because it was the freedmen that had a bank created called the Freedmen's Bureau, and that bank,
that
money was stolen and used to create the Federal Reserve. So it's a specific lineage. It's not, oh, you're black, so you get reparations. No. You have to be able to literally trace your lineage back to the killing fields of the southern United States.
Right.
And your ancestors were slaves, sharecroppers, any of that stuff. And you can
okay, that's
it.
The most clarity that I've heard. Okay, I just have a couple more questions. First of all, how much revenue are we talking about? And other than you just stating that here, is there any definitiveness regarding what you just said? Because I was thinking that a whole lot of other people could – I'm bringing this issue back, because if it's not a settled issue, then it's not a settled issue. And other people are going to apply and contend for any money that's being given out. I'm pretty sure you understand that. But what makes you think it's going to be limited to the parameters that you just set?
Okay, well, first place solution, what you would have to do is this. Your first indication is this. If you're a person of African descent in this country, and if you got the last name of Wilson, Jones, Brown, Smith, O'Neill, Barkley, Patterson, and what have you, that there's a definitive description right there. Because as you know, is that when the slave was on an auction block being auctioned and he was purchased, he became the property of the slave master, and that there is what the name had signified, that this here is Mr. Brown's slave, this here is Mr. Jones' slave, and what have you. You see what I'm saying? And he better had stayed in line, and he better not have taken any African names, you know, and whatnot. The same thing with the Spaniards. Like when you look at the slave markets of Cuba, Dominican Republic, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and they got last names by the last names of Garcia, Mercado, and stuff like that. It signifies that you were the property. Now, also too, in some states is that they literally have put brands on their slaves in the same manner that they did cattle. And that within itself, sir, is a human rights violation. You see, because this illusion of inclusion is just that, an illusion. And I don't care what Kamala Harris says. I don't care what any of these brain-dead sellout politicians say. I could care less about Eric Adams. I could care less about the Brandon fool there in Chicago. And I forgot that clown's last name, believe it or not. Humility's starting to set in, you know. What's the mayor of Chicago's name there, Brother Che? Brother Che. Okay.
I think his line may have dropped, Shabaka.
Okay. All right. So this is all part of the shadow ban. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is all part of the shadow ban. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got a couple. Okay, there's Brother Che. I'm sorry? Yeah, go ahead.
Brandon Johnson?
Yes, ma'am. Brandon Johnson. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that clown. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and he's pathetic. Okay, because, you know, they're talking about that they're going to give all these migrants, you know, this, you know, allowing them access, you know, into the park, you know, where the kids, you know, play at and stuff like this. You see what I'm saying? And he's doing it.
Yeah,
you know, and he's doing it here, you know, for these immigrants. You see what I'm saying? And then on top of it as well, too.
He's doing that for these
sir.
Immigrants, because the Democratic Party is telling him to do this for them immigrants.
Yeah, exactly.
They are literally creating an economic safety net for these damn illegal immigrants, that they're literally telling them to come over here and get free goodies and giveaways. just like they did in the late 1800s with the European immigrants. Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, you can come over here and you get free labor, and you get free land, and yeah, you know, you just can come with your clothes, with the clothes on your back. You don't even need no paperwork. Same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And gentlemen, in immigration policy or law, it says illegal aliens. And you guys are right about that. I have no pushback on that whatsoever. But, you know, I'm definitely, look, if Americans receive the money, I think it's better spent. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
Regardless of all the other issues.
Yeah,
and it is an interesting proposition, by the way. It's very interesting because you guys are doing a number of things. You're saying slavery. I think Jim Crow would be a better approach because slavery was legal.
No. Hold on, Solution. No. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. It's not just for slavery. Slavery is the starting part of it, but that's not just it. It goes into Jim Crow. It goes into black codes. It goes into mass incarceration. It goes into the war on poverty and the war on drugs. All that is encompassed in the package of the claim. What we're saying is, in order for you to qualify for that claim, you have to be able to prove that you are in fact a descendant of American chattel slaves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is there some place I could read this? I would like to see it in writing. Is there a bill or something? H.R. S.B. something of that nature?
You can go to H.R. 40 from 1980. Okay, go ahead, Brother Shay.
No, H.R. 40 is H.R. 40. H.R. 40 is a study. Yeah, so, you know, that's just a study. We're not talking about a study. We're talking about the
direct
cash payment, not a commission. Direct cash payment. The same way there was no study, there was no commission for when the Japanese that were interned for 4 years in World War II, there was no study, no commission that was created in order for them to get reparations. Just like with the Jews in Germany, there was no study, no commission for them to get reparations for something that didn't even happen in this country. And they still get
reparations
to this day. Same thing with the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese, there was no study, no commission set up for them to get reparations. There was no study, no commission set up for the so-called Native Americans, the $5 Indians, to get reparations. So we're beyond the study. We're beyond the commission.
Right.
We're really at the point where it's like reparations or no votes. The ballot or the bullet, the modern day, is reparations or no votes. You're not going to give us reparations, then we're not going to vote for you. So if that means the Republicans are going to win the next however number American cycles, election cycles, then so be it. If we got to be miserable, then the whole country can be miserable right along with us. If we got to be destitute, then the whole country needs to be destitute right along with us, because we're the only reason why this country even exists. There would be no United States of America without our ancestors' blood, sweat, and sweat.
Pretty much, you know what I'm saying? And then not to look at the brutalization is that when the slaves escaped or slavery, like when Sister Harriet Tubman had the Underground Railroad, the brutalization of what those slaves had went through, you know, on the recapturing it, because they escaping, you know, from being kidnapped. You see what I mean? And we're just supposed to sit here, man, and take this, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's crazy. And then, of course, like Brother Che had stated, that all these other groups.
There is information on this. If you go to www.officialfba.com, you will get a synopsis of what we're talking about and where we're going with it and what FBA is and what a descendant of American chattel slavery is and what a freedman is, because freedman is the status. That was the status that was given to us after during Reconstruction. And during Reconstruction, that was actually the first civil rights movement, and it was supposed to be corrective action for what happened in chattel slavery. And then we had the second civil rights movement in the 1960s, because they weren't living up to what was passed in the 1800s. So we have to go back and revamp that. And then
now the Indians, as I
the language, because the language was supposed to be, hold on, solution. I'm not done talking yet. So the language was changed to include minorities and all these other groups. But initially, that the language for the original Civil Rights Bill, or actually the second Civil Rights Bill in the 1960s, was specifically for black people, those that are descendants of chattel slavery. And then they went ahead and changed it to minorities and people of color and all this broad and ambiguous language that Dr. Claude Anderson is always talking about. So, no. Everybody really needs to be thanking Foundation of Black Americans for these so-called civil rights, because without us, they would not exist. And see, they're benefiting everybody but us. And we're the reason why they even exist. As far as the immigrants, we're the reason why there is even they even allow black immigrants into this country, because it was our ancestors that fought for the Immigration Act of 1965. All right, what do you guys think, Solution? Go ahead.
No, I was just getting – on much of that, you're accurate there. Okay. I was thinking about, and maybe it's in the information, you said www.sba.gov.com. What?
FBA.com.
www.com. Okay. Yeah, I'll look into this. And how much, if you know, Jay, how much are you talking about per person in terms of revenue? Or can you say?
It would actually be per family, but per person about 1.2 million. So that equates to roughly, there's like 40 million foundational black Americans in this country. So that equates to about almost $100 trillion, maybe more, maybe a little bit more than $100 trillion. But you can start with an installment payment, at the very least, $20 trillion is where we're starting it at. But here on Frontline Campaign, Frontline Black News, the Revolutionary Agenda, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, we're saying $100 trillion, period, point blank. And you don't have to pay it all at once. It don't have to be paid all at once. It can be paid in installments and over generations, because we were in slavery for generations. So basically, as long as we were in slavery, which we haven't any longer than we were in slavery, you can pay it for that duration. So basically, y'all going to be paying it for the next 100, 200, 300 years. Just like the small hat, they get a check every year. The Native Americans, so-called Native Americans, they get a check every year. So, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Well, that's very interesting.
It's actually more than that, but, you know, the amount is the true amount is really hard for most people to fathom. So we just say $100 trillion, but it's a lot more than that. But we just say $100 trillion, because you got to look at the GDP for how many years? About 150 years, at least 150 years.
Yes, sir. And
this country's existence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then also, too, we see we have another caller here out the 330 area code, last 3658. Please press 1 if you like to join our conversation. Now, also, too, Brother Che, you got to look at how much the slave market contributed to the gross national product, including agricultural products and the semi-industrial products that came about with that, is because, as you know, when the slave, you know, came up with the invention or what have you, the slave master automatically owned the intellectual property rights to said invention. You see what I'm saying? And then, too, you got to look at, you know, how it shattered the black family unit. And then, of course, you got to look at the brutalization of the black male in the presence of the black female. And as you so well put it in one presentation, when they had these buck-branking farms down there. And see, and this is why you're seeing the side effect of it today, where, you know, you got all these young black men talking about that they women. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about got a 5 o'clock shadow, the whole nine yards, wearing women's clothes and all that, talking about that he's a woman. And then also two folks out there. And what was that there, Brother Che? We up to ante now, man, to $200. Is that if you are a male that identifies yourself as a woman, okay, then you have to prove your last menstrual cycle. You see what I mean? And we ain't talking about no tomato paste that you're shoving up your rectum. Yeah, right. This is because with these individual men calling themselves women, this is a direct insult to womanhood, number one. Also, too, it's a direct insult to humanity within itself. You see, now, if they want to go on there with that Eurocentric bullshit, man, go on and let them, man, because that's where it originated at, you see. So, you know, these Greeks and these Romans, they don't tell you that. It's because in African societies, they had a severe way of dealing with you if such individual had said tendencies, and plus that in African societies, they placed great emphasis on procreation, and that they only happens between a union of man and woman. But however, they have their human rights, they have their civil rights that they wouldn't even give black people. You see what I'm saying? So if this individual, you know, who is probably the victim of some type of trauma,
we're the only reason why they have civil rights.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? And that's real talk right there. You see what I mean? And then what's happening is, too, is that with the civil rights, everybody else has benefited except us. And we the ones that went out there and got bashed in the head. You know what I'm saying? Just like, what was his name? John Lewis, you know, he went out there and caused all this good trouble and all this old good stuff like that. You see? And then what I want to know, although that you did have other races in the civil rights movement, and some of them were killed and beaten as well, too. They came out there with us with police dogs. They came out there with us on fire hoses. You see solutions. I could tell, man, by the way how you ask questions also gives me an indication of your age group. You see what I mean? Okay. And then we appreciate your education. But you have to safeguard yourself from being miseducated, okay? It's because when I was in college in Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? I got into an argument with a history teacher who was from Europe, I believe, okay? And then he made the statement about, quote-unquote, a natural union, and he was talking about Booker T, who said that he had a black mother and had a white father. Well, that there's a rape and slave trade and pedophile. You see what I'm saying? And we're calling it what it is. You see what I mean? You know? And
yeah, let me just say this, Shabaka.
Yes.
That's a nice name, by the way. It's what you call mellifluent, kind of flows like honey. But look here, good luck on that money venture. I think you call it reparations. But, you know, I'm always open to discuss in some detail getting wealthy in the current, or let me say this, getting financially secure in the current financial climate. So, like I say, great. Money always adds to money. So if you have money and then you add revenue to it, it just builds it. But you understand my position, right? You understand what I just said?
What you're talking about, if I'm correct on that, solutions, is you're talking about generational wealth. You say that's
about, people are hurting now, and they need to know how to get more capital, more revenue. And that's pretty much my forte. I call myself a successful investor, right? And I know how to earn revenue, how to preserve it, that sort of thing. And so,
okay. So, what type of ventures, if you're at liberty to state, that you're involved in?
Oh, everything. But I don't tell people to get involved what I get involved in, because a person's thank you for asking, though. A person's financial concerns are very personal. And the first thing I tell people is get in touch with a good CFP, a certified financial planner. That's the first thing. And do that at least once. And make sure the person is a fiduciary. that they don't try to sell you anything. You just get the information you need. And then it's going to take years. I talk about 60 to 80 hours a week, get completely out of debt, debt-free. That's hard for a lot of people to do. Get out of debt and then stack your revenue for important purposes, purposes of freedom. Look, let me just say this. There's nothing like being debt-free. Nothing.
You say, now, I'm glad you brought that up, Solutionist, because we got 336, last 3644 is in here.
Sure,
I think
I'll hang out. I'll hang
is.
Out, Chewbacca. I'm just going to hang out.
No, you don't have to hang out. Okay, you know, you could just stay on in the queue, and then keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, our chat room has collapses because I do see that Joe Gibson is here
in the chat
room.
I'm in the chat room. Joe Gibson's here. Joe Gibson's in there.
What's up, Joe?
X-Star boy. Joe called in. He's on mute.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, Joe, just play press one, man.
That's Joe Gibson.
Okay, Joe, so just press one, man, and we'll be happy to have you there. And Joe's got his hand up. Okay, ding, 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 in this corner.
Yes, sir.
Come on with
How
it,
doing?
Joe.
Well,
I
respect what the man is saying about debt and everything, but the problem is with the monetary policy being controlled by the Federal Reserve, we're all in debt. The country's is going to see a major collapse with the monetary system we have now. A fractional reserve banking cannot work. It's never worked throughout history. And the bottom line is we were born as slaves in debt, debt slaves. And we use debt-based notes, Federal Reserve notes.
Okay, now hold on, Joe. Now, when you make this statement that all of us was born as slaves, okay, can you give me any historical account, okay, of those who are of non-African descent or non-foundational Black Americans, as Brother Che has said, that were hit with a whip, okay, although you did have some of them, smashed a little bit in the Civil Rights Movement. But who were actually bought and sold on auction blocks, Joe, down in your state of North Carolina, and where the children were taken away from the parents. You know what I'm saying?
Well, everyone's children is owned by the social services. Okay? Yes, Mercy Powers Act.
And to add on to that, Chewbacca, and they were not compensated for such, the select few that were supposedly had these atrocities brought on.
Well, they changed us. They changed us to residence. They changed us, our title to residence, from citizen to residence through the Act of 1871. So when you thought slavery was being abolished after the Civil War, actually what they did was the 14th Amendment enslave all people. And then, of course, they accomplished that through the monetary system in 1913 with the Federal Reserve.
Okay, you're talking about Woodrow Wilson, who invented it, okay? And a lot of people are saying that Woodrow Wilson should have been hit with treason for that. But, Joe, I've been asking the same question, man, on your platform, my platform, other platforms. Okay, show me where white people in this country were slaves and where they were beaten and a family unit was taken and a woman were violated and where they were branded like cattle.
For generations. And they were taught they would never, ever not be a slave. For generations to come, till perpetuity. Where is that, Joe?
You're talking physical slavery, where they're put in chains and whatnot, and made to go out work in the fields. Of course, that has never happened to white people in this country. No.
Okay, all righty, Joe. Okay, that's all I've been trying to get you to say, man, for the last 6 years. You know that.
we can celebrate that
tonight. You know what I'm saying? And then too, Joe. What happens is right here is that, see, that this is embedded in us for generations. You see what I'm saying? And even after when you had the quote-unquote
also, I want to correct y'all on something. It wasn't just working the fields, Joe. It was building the whole infrastructure of, at that time, mainly the southern United States and part of the northern United States. So It wasn't working the fields. We were working the roads.
Yeah, but until we come out of the umbrella of the system that we have right now, the corporate de facto Washington, D.C. corporate machine that does enslave everybody today, unless you're part of their club, we can't have an honest discussion about anything else because we have to get out of that notion of we have to all be free first. And then maybe we can talk about the past.
Okay, but hold on, Joe.
You got to free the original slaves in this country before you can talk about us all being free. You still got a debt that's old. This is a debt that is old.
Yeah, but the debt can't be paid if we're using fake money, brother. We can't use it. Yeah. If we're using fake money, that enslaves everybody. How are we going to pay off the debt?
Then use another factor. But hold on, Joe. Then use another factor of production that is called land, real estate. You see what I'm saying?
But none of us own land. None of us are allowed to.
Stolen from black people.
Do you want to be given a warranty deed? You know what a warranty deed is? When they claim that you own your land, you're a tenant. You're really a tenant when you pay off your house. Nobody owns a house.
You're just
today.
A tenant. You don't own the mineral rights. You don't own the mineral rights underneath the house or on the land.
Exactly. So let's change that to land allodial
or
land tax.
Oil on
like
your land.
Then they'll use eminent domain to seize it.
Yeah. They could take I said, too much control. This corporation has control over all of us, you know, and until we can get, you know, I understand what you're saying 200 years ago, 100 years ago. Yes, I get that. But I'm just saying right now, all of us are enslaved to this damn Washington, D.C. corrupt criminal government.
Okay, but Joe, but that's just it, though, is as we had stated with the policy enforcers, commonly referred to as the police, okay? And you remember when we was having this conversation, and I think even Solutions was there on the line, Sarge was on the line as well, too, and I was driving out of Gavin Newsom State here to, okay. And then Solutions had made the statement about, put support your local police on your bumper. Do you know, man, if you go into certain areas of municipalities, man, that could be a very, very severe situation that you would not want to find yourself in. You see what I mean? Okay, now, what happens is when we look at somebody like Derek Chauvin, and I'm surprised that Sarge is not here because we know that Sarge is a fan of Derek Chauvin, who went out there and committed murder flagrantly and blatantly. And he was being recorded. The whole world saw him. Before the whole world, he goes out there, he commits murder.
The restraining policy was a policy. It was a policy of murder. They trained him to commit murder.
Joe, you just proved my point again. Joe moved to the head of the class. The police are policy enforcers. So the only bona fide law enforcement official by the people and should be for the people, although they are not, is the county sheriff. And in some places, I even believe that you could have even elect the county marshal. But what's happening is with all these budget cuts and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, they merged it too. And also, too, we see XR Boar Tave had joined the conversation in the chat room. Gentlemen, our chat room is skewed right here, and we're working on it. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? It's probably the algorithms that they program against us because we're being shadow banned. And this is why we appreciate all our callers, okay? And one thing that we do not do here, we do not scratch our ass here. We don't sing and dance and get up there, man. What they call that there, Brother Che, out of that place I used to live in called Los Angeles, the minstrels. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? We're not with that. This ain't on
the
Tom Cabin. This here ain't the song of the gods. Yeah, and this ain't about zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. I got plenty of nothing, and nothing is plenty for me. No. Okay, but however, you know, our forum is open up to everybody, but we deal here with a black first agenda, you see, because we must become economically self-sufficient.
Right.
Now, The reason why we must become economically self-sufficient, Joe, okay, is that it's going to be a spillover benefit for other groups too, except that we're going to be the ones controlling the wealth for our innovation and for our ideas and for our patents, you see, is because... okay, and I see our co-host is having some technical difficulties here. See, Brother Chet had dropped off, and hopefully he'll get back in. Okay, so on that there, Solutions, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we're going to go to our major contributor, Sister Akshita, with great knowledge, you know, who shared the episode for us this evening, you know, on social media. And hear what she has to say. She's always dropping knowledge. And like, and keep in mind, I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed. You see what I'm saying? So it's always good, you know, to have, you know, some stimulating conversation. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So just hang in there, Joe. We're going to go with Akshita, ladies first, and then we're going to go to Solutions. Okay, Sister Akshita, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, actually. I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time coming, and the conversation very rarely veers from the topics that are being touched on tonight. So I was looking up H.R. 40, and it's a lot of information there, but it doesn't look like based on what I'm kind of skimming through it, and it says that the development of a commission of 13 members within 90 days must be developed within 90 days of the enactment of this act. And so my question is, where are the 13 members? Who's speaking for the people of the foundational Black Americans who are speaking and going for the reparations, that has to be established. And I'm not saying that it's not already established, but to get more people involved, there has to be some sort of call for people. You know, and it's not based in ideology, sort of say.
Don't say hello there to me.
I do agree with Brother Solutions when he says that our issue is to be debt-free. I said debt-free is key because right now, it seems as though people are concerned about reparations but aren't doing anything in their present moment to clear the debt. And I agree with Joe Gibson as well in saying that through the IRS and the 14th Amendment, which enslaves all people, no matter what your race is, because today, in today's society, it really doesn't matter what your skin complexion looks like. Yes, there was a time where the darker your skin, the worse you have it. But now, if you have the mind to get out of debt and to create your own way, not looking for an apology, because it says that they're actually going to format this public apology to the people, but this isn't anything that has been created as of yet. They're still playing around with this since 1989.
Every year,
every year, this conversation comes up about reparations. And yet and still, they're looking for more evidence, more proof, more of what already exists. So it's kind of like they playing with you. And the longer you stay on this topic in conversation, the longer you stay away from getting into your own mindset of being free, because we are free. Mm-hmm. We are free to do whatever we want to do. We are free to create business if we want to. It takes time. You got to know how to read. You got to know how to write. You got to know how to speak.
Okay.
If you can't do those things in an intelligent way or form, you're not going to get very far. So is it what is it that we're actually looking for here?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so therefore, there are, as you know, Sister Ashita, there are four factors of production, which is land, labor, capital, and risk management. Now, solutions would know about risk management, okay? So which means is that you're an entrepreneur, which is a fancy French term meaning risk taker, okay? You got an idea. You got a vision, okay? Well, let me invest some money, okay? So therefore, I'll go up here and get people to go out here to work for slave wages. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to a decent living wage, I pay them off, pay the taxes and what have you, and I pocket the rent. And generally what happens is with these type of individuals, like when you look at these corporate chairmen like Zuckerberg and Stinky Bird over there in San Francisco, isn't his name Musk, as in musty? Musk means you stink, right? Okay. So the only thing that what he's doing is looking up there for people to pimp, you see what I'm saying, steal their ideas, you see what I mean, pay them off and then pocket the rest. What he does, absolutely nothing. Now, of course, everybody's got to maintain their existence and got to be responsible of their existence when you reach a certain age. Okay, fine, great, beautiful. But it seems like is that due to the brutalization of people of African descent here in the United States, or foundational Black Americans, or descendants of American slaves, to quote you and Brother Che, okay, but that brutalization has got to be answered for. Now, O.J. Edgar Hoover, you know, who is one of them fancy fellas, if you know what I mean, okay, who had stated that the biggest threat to the United States' internal security is the organization of quote-unquote Negroes. He didn't say what party. He did not say what committee. He did not say what the organization. He just said the simple organization, okay, just like what Dr. King did in 1956 in Montgomery when they organized the bus boycott. And what they did was, as that they stated, go to work or to school with your neighbor, build you a bike, get you four fucking wheels and a seat, you know what I'm saying, but do not take the bus. And they didn't. And do you know they broke the Montgomery Bus Company? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So that there's some economical power right there, you see, and they never wanted the slave to realize his economic power. This is why that they would brutalize him for reading a book or attempting to learn how to read, because what happens is when he reads, his knowledge expands, then he starts thinking, then he starts realizing his prediction, and then he says, you know what, man, I'm a little bit tired of you hitting me with these whips, man, and hitting me and branding me like I'm cattle. So the only natural thing to come next is we, you and I was talking earlier, about the Maroons and the Gulag Wars and an uprising, you see. But however, you get the brain dead. You get brain dead individuals like the minister said and Boss We Sick, you know, the slave will go up there, the master gets sick. Well, what's the matter, Boss We Sick? Okay, so the house Negro was more concerned about the master more so than the master was concerned about his own well-being. But then when that brother out there working that slave sun up to sundown, 6 days a week, I think some of them they gave Sunday off for. They gave him Sunday off, right? Well, go up there to that old house Negro. Hey, man, let's run away. Let's escape. You know what I'm saying? Let's try to live. Let's go save our women and our children. And what the old house Negroes say, like your Larry Elders and your Leo Terrells and the sack of shit that you got there in New York City, Eric Adams, man, what's the matter with you, man? He's crazy. What's better than what we got here? Okay, this is extremely sad. Now, Felicia, okay, you're there. You got money. Are you willing to...
Wait a minute, Shabaka, if you can... No. I have no debt. Okay, that's the way I lead. Oh, okay, this is what I would say. I speak to a lot of young people, and don't forget your question, because I just wanted to throw this in. I spend time conversing with a lot of young people. What I always do, recommend a book to them. And I find that people who won't read a book won't do too much other than what they're doing. So now, even in preparation for your reparations, by the way, I would say get the hell out of debt, because that's going to be the most important thing. If one earns $1 million in revenue and spends $1,000,001, guess what? They're broke. And so my position is to get the hell out of debt. Now, what I was going to say also, and this is in conjunction with this, is harvest the existing system. It's hard to create new systems. There are about roughly 200 countries in the world today, and they have a little bit of age on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to create a country. So to create a new system, I like watching the Mennonites and also the Amish. Now, they have an infrastructure. They build things. They have the carpenters, the plumbers, the mechanics. And that's the kind of stuff it takes, or kind of knowledge, excuse me, to build infrastructure. However, one can actually leverage the existing system and purchase that kind of stuff. I was explaining to a person just recently, because they had a micro perception of money, and I was dealing with a macro. I was dealing with the macro. That is, if you don't have the money to pay people, especially professionals, one is not going to get too much done. You have to pay people, compensate people for goods and services. So therefore, one has to have that revenue available. And the best way to have revenue is get the hell out of debt, because you're making someone else wealthy. When you are in debt, make sure you understand this. You are financing someone else's wealth when you're in debt. And that's why MasterCard and Visa, they just raised their fees and interest last month. And they also raised their fee on merchants, which tries to rope in people like
hold
me.
That thought. Okay, go ahead. Solution. Okay, yeah, because we got a caller here from the Denver area, the 720 area code, last three is 703. Okay, what's your name and where are you calling from and what's on your mind?
It's me, Shabaka. It's Lady J. Right now, Lady J. Calling in. Brother Chain on the line.
Okay. Is who on the line?
Can you hear me?
Yes. It's me, Shabaka. It's Lady J.
Okay. All right, Lady J.
There's some slight feedback going on. I think it's somebody's television in the back or internet or something. Solution on the Amish and whatnot and the infrastructure. I always said if I ever came back reincarnated, I'd like to come back as Amish, but in black. The thing is that Amish people got the not only do they have their own, they can do everything without electricity. They can survive. They probably will out survive any with you know if something should happen, just because they know how to do things and they know how to live. You know what I mean? They know how to create things, including growing their own food and vegetables, making their own. You know they can. they can build a whole infrastructure. They do have the mindset to do it. As far as debt is concerned, I would like to think that it can't all be, I mean, when we talk about debt, we also have to look at the fundamentals that, you know, black people are in debt for a whole various amount of reasons, and a lot of it really has nothing to do with them. It's like a setup, you know what I mean? It's a setup. Right. How can you be in debt when you're owed money? Just make that make sense. How can you be in debt when you're owed reparations? Like, you don't, you know what I mean? That's a debt. That's a debt that the government owes. How can we okay. as foundational black Americans, let's ask the question, be in debt to a system that owes us money on a country we built? That's all I got to say. And black power.
Okay, now what you got to understand on that there, Lady Chase, this is why it's called bullshit. You see what I'm saying? You know, somebody's urinating on you, telling you it's rain. Somebody defecating on you, telling you that it is snow. You see what I'm saying? Okay.
You sound very far away, Brother Shabaka.
Okay, wait a minute. Boy, this raggedy ass. Hold on. Okay, how do I sound now?
Very much clearer, yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
That's all I
got to
say. I was like,
back.
That don't even make no sense. We got to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. They got to pay what they owe.
Right.
And then that clears the debt. That clears not just like a third of the debt. You know what I mean?
And then also, too, is that we...
You understand how to build credit.
Come on now, solution. This sounds like some old propaganda. Some programming, you know, that they want you to continue to believe in, you know, so that you can, you know, go ahead and continue to program and indoctrinate everybody else. Go to school or read, you know, blah 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 blah. Man, it just doesn't make any sense when you look at the grand scheme of harms and traumas. I mean,
well,
I
back up a minute.
With my
let me comment.
It just made it very clear to me how much the government owes. Foundation of Black Americans from start
Wait a
to
minute.
Finish.
Allow me to comment on that. See,
yes,
because
sir. I'm tapping out.
Yeah, no. Don't leave. I want you to hear the feedback. See, what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, first of all. But what you're saying is a fantasy. You're saying, well, let them pay me, and then I'll use that revenue to get out of debt. That's what you're saying.
They
is that correct?
They owe the debt. It's not let them pay me. They owe it. It's owed.
Hey, okay, fine. I agree with you. Got it. I got it. Okay, they owe you the debt, but they haven't paid you, which means you're still in debt. Is that correct?
I'm saying
they
owe foundational black Americans a debt. Yes.
Whatever it takes, Shabaka, do that. But what I will say is this. You're going to need clear-thinking people. Make no mistake about it. When you go up against the system, you're going to need clear-thinking, powerful people. And I'm not saying this lady is not, but what I hear her saying, it's wishful thinking more than it is realistic. Because what I hear
saying
is...
it's very realistic solution. It's very realistic.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish the thought. It's not realistic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It's not going to help you get out of debt now. See, that's not going to help you stop paying those high interest rates and those high fees now. Those are still coming every month. On time. So my position is this, and take it for what it's worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of debt now. Work that 60 to 80 hours a week. Be healthy. Get out of debt. Then start saving. Be frugal. And once you get that, you'll be able to pretty much do whatever you want to do. But you're not going to do anything without capital.
Solutions. Now, let me say this right here. Okay, what you said right there. Okay, so therefore, that dude who's sitting at a place called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington.
Let me just finish with this, and then I'm going to listen to you entirely. A lot of times,
go ahead.
You've heard it said that banks won't lend to people who are broke. I'm sure you've heard that. That's true for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that is because when a person looks at you and they see you have nothing, that says to them you have no power. In order to get what you want, you can't go in begging. You've got to go in with a power position. And there's nothing wrong with preparing yourself now. And one of the first things I would suggest. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, now what I was saying there, Solutions, is this, that you got a dude sitting up there, man, at 1600 Pennsylvania Street in Washington, D.C., I believe. I think it's called the White House. Okay, what that dude in there could do is signed an executive order erasing all the debt, you know, for people who are descendant of slaves right here as part of the reparations package. This is just an idea out there, okay? And for it to make quote-unquote amends of the brutalization that it did to people of African descent, foundational black Americans, Sister Akshita and what was the, and descendants of chattel slavery. See, he could do that there with an executive order. You see what I mean? Okay. And then what that would do is automatically clear the debt. Now, if the IRS and the Federal Reserve don't dig it, and then what he would just simply do is sign in another executive order to have them all arrested, you see what I'm saying, for violating people's right under the clause of equal protection under the law. Now, how does that sound?
Wait, I just have to say real quick. Just real quick, like less than a minute. What I want to say is this. I understand how, you know, when I speak that it sounds uneducated, ignorant, whatever. That's just me, okay? I will say this, though. It makes no sense. I'll make a statement. I'm glad I don't have nothing and I don't want nothing. I'm glad that I don't have to go and ask anybody for anything. If in the case of how you just said, when people look at you, they think you don't have nothing and no power. That's why you can't get nothing. You can't borrow against, et cetera, et cetera. I'm glad that I'm blessed that I look this way and don't have nothing or want nothing like an asset, like a car or house or anything like that. Because that look in general, I've received it since I was a small child. And I would hate to carry that on and ask for more stuff, like stuff that I'm actually entitled to, like Social Security disability, anything that I'm entitled to. I'm born here. I'm from the soil. And I can't even as light as I am, I cannot even get what I'm absolutely entitled to based on what the law says I'm entitled to. So I'm glad. I'm just thankful. Like, they turned me down 10 times and I legitimately got 10 things, 20 things on the list that qualifies me for it. However, I'm glad. I'm so thankful because with that mindset, that mindset right there keeps this black tax going. And it keeps adding to what is owed. It keeps adding to that. It just keeps incurring interest. You know, and that's all I got to say about that. It don't matter how anybody thinks about how ignorant I talk or where I'm from or whatever. I'm glad that it's like that because then I could be humble and just know that, you know, whatever I got is rich for me. You know what I mean? I'm whatever everybody else has, yeah, you know more than I do. You know what I mean? I'm just glad. I'm glad for that because we know, they know that a blood debt is owed to Foundation of Black Americans, Freedmen, we know that that's old and it has to happen. You know what I mean? So just so that, you know, everybody's on the same page. It doesn't matter. I know I don't have no debt, but I know I don't have no credit, and I'm glad I don't. Because then I don't want nothing, okay. Can't have nothing. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Shabaka, what you just said, you've got to look at that from two angles. Possibility versus probability of what you said occurring, those two executive orders. What do you think the probability of that is right now?
Oh, I think it's zero is because nobody has brought it out there to the public light. But here's something that I want to mention right here. It just came across my desk. Okay, y'all are going to love
this.
I
have a probability,
right,
and I can foresee the future that reparations will happen in our lifetime.
I agree with you, by the way, Shabaka. Go ahead. I agree with you.
Versus our children.
I think that's an astute observation.
Okay.
No,
alrighty. Okay. I'm just
from the universe. I know that will happen, sir. That will happen.
Yeah, I think that's an astute observation.
Before my soul lays the rest. I know that.
Express.
I can foresee it.
Shabaka. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Well, ma'am,
look,
revenue equals dignity. Understand that. That I think that's a very good equation. A certain amount of revenue.
That's
dignity is a skill, is a learned thing. Dignity, loyalty.
Oh, classes exist, by the way. Socioeconomic classes
things
exist.
Like that. Those are learned. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
You come in the world with family that teaches you how to have dignity. Pride.
Right. And I just
You don't learn that from having revenue. They don't give you an income when you come in the world.
Hold on. Let me just explain. What I meant was when a person gets older, most people want to retire because their body kind of dictates
Tell
it.
Tell me about
and
it.
And then they need goods and services that whatever wealth they put away has to be able to provide for them. So that's what I mean by revenue equals dignity. And I don't think too many people would disagree with that.
My father worked 80 hours a week. He just retired. He's barely 67 years old. 80 hours a week, two jobs. He raised me and my brother for a little while, for like, you know, a good portion of my life, at least, so I was 11, carried on with my brother and that old family. He did everything, and he barely survived on the retirement that they gave him. He's almost done with it, and that's just paying off the debt because, you know, when he retired, it didn't even catch up to him. He has a house, a vehicle. He saved his money. He did everything right as a man. He worked a hard job as a man, you know, two times. Blue-collar worker, 80 hours a week. He finally started making $25 an hour. Are you serious, sir? If anybody has any dignity, it's the people like that versus the people who spend their whole life reading books and collecting revenue. Come on, now. That's the most insane. That right there, I can't. Look, my eyes twitching. I'm starting to stutter. That I can't fathom that is the reality. Because Social Security, everything, your 401ks, all that stuff you pay into, that all we do is get taxed when you give it back.
IRA.
It doesn't even matter. My own mother has worked her whole life with jobs less than minimum wage, and she barely meets the same retirement money that my father did, barely, as a woman. And she's 66 years old, and a white woman at that. Do you see what I'm saying? This doesn't make any sense, what you just said. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be combative,
sir.
I apologize. I
know
that looks ignorant.
Because the value of the dollar is worth nothing. If they pay you all reparations, right, and then the dollar goes, if
the
dollar crashes, what good will it be?
Now.
Okay, all right, hold on a second. Okay, hold on. Okay,
well,
let me interject something right here.
Well, first of all, can y'all hear me? Hold on, Sebastian. First of all, no. No, first of all, it's not your problem to worry about, Joe Gibson. You don't qualify any damn way. So that's not your concern. That's your problem.
It is my problem, because guess what? If I'm elected here in North Carolina, I will have a say-so.
Joe Gibson, I forgot.
If I'm elected here in North Carolina, I will have a say-so.
And you haven't voted on you yet.
But you're not currently.
It's not black people voting for you.
Joe, tell her answer, baby. You are not currently in that position, though. So it's a what if, coulda, woulda, coulda, had it.
If the dollar crashes, what good would reparations be? You're not seeing common sense.
No, you're not seeing common sense. You're seeing that.
Hey, I watch Bloomberg. Let's just keep it on that. I watch Bloomberg right now.
Because you are a tether anchor, baby. You had no involvement in the creation of none of this. So you came here to benefit and eat
then
off
then why
of
do I have to pay then?
That's what
then why should I pay
do.
Anything?
Because you broke into
your
country.
You, the debt is still
you've been
owned.
Collecting
it
a fucking
it.
Debt,
it.
And you've been surviving and reaping the reward off of foundational Black Americans.
You just
that's
said I had nothing to do with this. Which
if
is
you
it?
Broke into
okay.
our country, you, sir, broke in. Your family broke
I didn't
you
break
here.
Into your country.
No, your family did.
Yes,
it
did.
And you're anchored here.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Your family
folks,
broke
folks,
into the country.
Okay, folks.
That's,
folks,
that's
folks,
a completely asinine comment. That is. That's asinine.
Your
to have a conversation
okay,
here and say something
hold
idiotic
hold
like that.
Okay.
You
right.
are, where your family came
you
in
are,
legally,
what,
sir.
Second, third generation immigrant.
Either way,
so,
you're
so what,
still
what,
anchor
what degree immigrant are you? Are you a
it doesn't
first,
matter.
Second,
I'm an American citizen
immigrant.
Right now. I'm an American citizen and a candidate here in North Carolina.
Right
so,
now.
I mean, what do you
right
want?
Right now. Right now. Right now you are. Yes, right now.
If your family
right
where
folks,
the fuck they
folks.
Were from,
I'll win in my district.
Here.
I will win.
Okay,
oh,
all right. Okay,
and even if you do win, what are you going to do for Black people? Even if you do win, bro, what are you gonna do for Black people? What are you gonna do for the people that
South Carolina? Where you at? Because I've been watching the tweets. I see your name pop up everywhere.
Okay.
I'm not gonna play favorites to any group of people.
62. You're not gonna pay favors to any group. So who are you gonna pay favors to?
I just told you, nobody.
Okay, we got a call
I'll
from
330-658.
Okay, your mic is on mute. Please comment out. Here's what I want to say. I want to read something
you
right here. Okay.
It's how crazy white
okay.
guys from Akron,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay, this is fine. Okay, let me read.
I've been trying to call in the show. I've been trying to message the
the chat room is skewed. Okay, but first of all, okay,
even the hard line's messed up. The hard line is messed up as well.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Just hold on 1 second, sir.
Yeah,
it's very, very interesting what
I've
you got
to
say.
I've been having
I got to read
to,
this.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
I let you guys
okay,
know.
I got to read this.
I didn't get to hear hardly any of this.
Please let me read this article. Okay. Please let me read this article. Okay. Now, this it proves our point right here where, you know, a Black politician ain't shit. And I have to put it like that here. This is just off the news, hot off the press. New York mayor stripped of emergency migrant powers, heads back to D.C. in makeup of FBI raid aborted visit. Okay. Adams will head to Washington Thursday to discuss the migrant influx weeks after he abandoned another trip to the nation's capital with feds descended on his top fundraiser's house. Okay. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has had his powers to award migrant-relating emergency contracts taken away from him days before heading back to D.C. to discuss the crisis. Okay. Now, why doesn't this fool right here, okay, put that effort on these migrants, you see what I'm saying, to getting some generational wealth in the Black community. Why he ain't going to do it? Just like that clown there in Chicago, is because his ass is bought. Okay, he's a sycophant. He's a hoe.
But he's another
anchor. You see what I'm saying?
He's bought.
Yeah, but see.
He's bought like Johnson was bought by Bloomberg here. Or
yeah,
Hancock was bought by whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever put millions
of dollars
into the money, though, because just say the dollar ain't worth shit now, Saluja. However,
right.
Everything converts back into gold, so gold is still at the top.
Right.
I got
and then, of course,
gold.
Trying
to be.
Melanin is at the top. Melanin is at the top. That's
exactly.
What it is.
Exactly.
Melanin is at the top.
Say, and what is that there, Brother Trey? $336 an ounce, I believe? Or is it a gram? $336 a gram for the melanin?
Let's say everything crashes.
Hold on. What
if? Okay, go on. Let this gentleman talk. Let him talk. Let the gentleman talk. Okay, let the gentleman talk. Okay.
And everybody's got silver and they've got gold. Who's to tell me I don't have the fake stuff? Or how are we going to determine the actual, I mean, is it even really that? Are we? I think it's more or less what you have to offer as and bartering as, like, let's say I know how to work on a car and you raise
mm-hmm.
corn. We can swap something
mm-hmm.
out, because when it comes down to a metal, what are you going to do? You can't, there's so much fake stuff anyway.
Okay, but hold on.
Yeah,
but you're talking
right
about
on.
This is, okay, this
are you
is why.
About barter
this
and
is,
yeah, you're right. When the world comes to a collapse, yeah, I'm on my marauding and trading skill set. I practice daily around here. So, yeah, you're right about that. However, when we talked about money and you was talking about the dollar solution, I was telling you that, yeah, the dollar ain't worth shit right at this moment. I watch Bloomberg on a daily, so I'm savvy on it. However, I would say this, I'm, you know, with the conversion of gold and whatnot, yeah, until you brought that point up, gold will still buy things that you need. Gold still will do
yeah,
it.
Still
just like drugs,
metal.
Just like
what am I gonna do with
bat- batteries, everything.
What am
yeah.
I going to we'll do with
come
this,
in,
though?
Will come in handy. Yes.
I got a pile of rocks, a big pile of gold rocks, and then what am I going to do with this?
You can't buy nothing with gold today.
Allow me to just explain this. Oh, okay, there's something called fungibility
first of all,
being fungible.
Keep talking about the gold.
Shit.
Okay, one at a time, folks. This is a great show. Everybody has a lot to say. Okay, one at a time, please.
If the money is not worth anything, then just switch it into something that is. Lumber, oil, there are a lot of commodities. There are a lot of commodities out there. Saying that the money is not worth anything really is not. It's not really a substantive statement. Because all one has to do is transmute it or transfer it into something that is worthwhile and that will hold its value. And that's what we talk about when we talk
about
investing.
Yeah, and you're talking about conversion.
But at the end of the day, after you change
it
over, it's eventually going to come to a head where it's run out. You know, something is not worth something to somebody at the end of the line, right?
Okay, now.
Like, who's to determine that value? The military?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Who is to determine
right.
it, and how are these individuals selected to make this determination? Okay, now, another story right here. When the governors of the great state of Texas and Arizona and Florida took advantage of the welcoming traditions provided by sanctuary cities, it was meant to get rid of an unwanted problem. More than 23,000 asylum seekers have been bused to Chicago from Texas. That's old Bud down there because, you know, old Bud, you know, he's putting them on a bus down there in the great state of Texas and sending them there to all the Democratic cities since the beginning of the year. As the cold weather sets in the nation's third largest city, a sheltering on sidewalks at police station foyers and in the city's airport, the next stop where they're going to bum rush is going to be Los Angeles to get out the cold. A sanctuary city is a community with a policy, repeat policy, that discourages local law enforcement from reporting the immigration status on individuals unless it involves investigations of a serious crime. Okay, see, so once again, the police are not law enforcement agents. They are policy enforcers. And, of course, as we all do know, Brother Che, that they evolved, you know, from the slave catchers or the paddy rollers, as they used to say. Okay, the slave patrollers. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
I live in one of those sanctuary cities here in Akron. That's a huge problem right now because of all the migrants
mm-hmm.
that are coming in and the unlawfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
it now comes to their doorsteps as council members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay,
and if I just may say this, Shabaka, is for cities to declare themselves sanctuary cities is a violation of federal immigration policy because only the federal government
mm-hmm.
has the jurisdiction
right.
to regulate immigration. So that's the reason
right.
I agree with Abbott and what you call him. I just call him DeSantis. I agree with their very ballsy position to ship those migrants
okay.
into those countries. Into those cities and states.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That,
okay.
that
okay.
Say
but keep in mind, though. But keep it. But
wait
keep
a minute.
In
let
mind,
me just
no
finish
solution.
This thought. In other words, those cities.
Okay.
Are the countries of America or the United States of America? Which one is it?
Those cities are in violation, as I said.
Ship them back to where they came from. That's what
so,
they can't do that because that would
overstep their jurisdiction. A state can't.
Okay, I tell you what they need to do. You know what they need to do? They need to take every last one of their asses,
they
kick them
doing.
Out the fucking country, and start cutting a check
yes.
for reparations to our people
100%.
Who have built this nation, you see, and take that money right there and use it for that, okay? Because the day
of
ass scratching, the day
of
Yassifal, the day of Stephen is over. Yeah,
hey, right, but the federal
right.
government, Shabaka, well, is not doing its job. Only the federal government can ship them across the U.S. boundary.
Exactly.
But states can
there's
ship them.
There's only one person.
Well,
only
let
one
me just
person
finish
in this
the
country
thought,
that can change what the government's
oh,
doing. It's we the people.
Okay, right, hold on. Okay, hold on, Brandon. Hold on. Okay, let's go. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Che. Thank you. Okay, because this is a dynamic conversation right here. We are getting somewhere. Everybody's here from a different background. You know what I'm saying? We may not particularly agree or with each other's politics or each other's viewpoints and personal viewpoints along various other lines and what have you right there. But I do ask that we can at least act civil here. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. But,
okay.
Shabaka, realize this.
Yeah.
Okay. In addition to what you said, there are laws, and that's why I quote, you can go to
right.
the immigration law and find
mm-hmm.
this, that the federal government has exquisite or sole jurisdiction over
mm-hmm.
this international border jumping. So what states can
okay.
do, which is what Abbott and DeSantis are doing, they are shipping them to the sanctuary states who are in violation
mm-hmm.
of the Constitution. They can't ship them out of the country. Mm-hmm. They would be violating immigration law if they did that. The federal. So
okay.
what I think they should do is ship them to. Okay, Mayor Adams said that it's costing New Yorkers $12 billion. And they're going to have to cut
mm-hmm.
back on services to New York citizens to take care of the illegal alien glut. What
mm-hmm.
Adams
mm-hmm.
should do if he has
what
any balls.
What's this called again, real quick?
Mm-hmm.
What he should do is ship them to Washington. Let Washington choke
yes.
on the problem that they are not addressing.
Yes. There you go. There's a perfect place for them because they're not even an actual state of this country. That's what they need
mm-hmm.
to do. Stick them all right in Washington, D.C., where they can have, like, just like the Vatican and London City, where they want
mm-hmm.
their own laws, they want to let all this go on, then you can have every single one of them. Because they're not going to do anything.
But it's perfectly legitimate, and I think it's what you call poetic justice and justice to ship them to the sanctuary states. The sanctuary states
okay,
are saying, hey,
justice.
We'll take them, and then let the citizens
solution.
Of those sanctuary states kick the butts of the politicians who make that kind of crazy law.
That's where
okay,
I'm
now,
at.
Solution.
Exactly right.
Okay, but hold on, though, gentlemen.
I
okay,
agree with
but,
I agree with the solution on that. I agree with
okay. okay.
the solution. The people, hold on, Stephen, Stanley, the people in these sanctuary cities, like we're in a sanctuary city, like Denver is a sanctuary city. So you're saying that we
right.
can take the burden of this because our elected officials decide that this is the thing that
no.
we should be doing, but the people is like, fuck, to hell with this, like, no, not happening, like they're doing with these micro communities and safe outdoor camps that they're putting up now, trying to
you're like we are.
People.
There's not
but
many of us.
In, hold on, I'm not done. Hold on, I'm not done yet. We done took in 28,000 of these mugs since last year, last December.
Unbelievable.
So this is not even a drop
mm-hmm.
in the bucket to what you're talking about. You need to house 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
We got at least 10,000 people destitute right now out on the streets of Denver.
I found a Jesse. Just stop talking. I found a Jesse. What's that matter when you get here? Jesse. I found it. I found it. We'll talk about it when you get here. That way you can read and compose your thoughts. I found what he's talking about. All right. Carry on with the conversation. Stop talking, Jesse, right there. I got it.
Okay.
I got the answer.
Okay. So
what you're saying?
Carry on. The
people elected in these sanctuary cities apparently got into position because there's more than people than like us that don't want this bullshit. So now my question.
Okay.
Why do the illegal immigrants coming into the country that I live in, why do they have more rights? Why do they have any rights at all here? As opposed to,
okay, all right,
why can't
okay,
the state
now,
get the crossed over, throw them out?
Okay, all right, Brandon, what you have to do is blame that guy on your chief executive.
Why weren't the people in these sanctuary cities notified
right.
of this?
This is,
we were not notified of this. This is not something
mm-hmm.
that was made public to us. Until relatively recently,
that's what
that
happened.
We had sanctuary
city
status and
sanctuary.
Jesse. Okay.
Now see, Akron,
Jesse,
they was already
Jesse,
voted
Jesse.
On. They knew that they
read.
Were in the sanctuary.
Nobody knows how to read. That's the answer.
No, we didn't vote on it.
Carry on, collusion, whoever's talking.
We didn't vote
Jesse,
on it.
Just read what I sent you, guys. Just read the whole thing.
Drag them out by their hair.
Okay.
Drag them all out by their hair because they're breaking the law and they're not just. They have no good intention.
Okay, but hold on, Brandon. You said drag them by the hair, okay? Now, with you saying that, does that there apply to the slave catchers, man, you know what I'm saying, when they were doing that there to runaway slaves?
Anybody that's unjust,
mm-hmm.
they need to be held accountable.
If anybody's unjust, they need to be held accountable.
Ooh.
Okay, now you just agreed with our argument for the reparations. You see what I'm saying? Because the whole country should be held
first.
Accountable for that.
My red skin, my Cherokee blood red skin is first.
Okay, but hold on a second.
But I
now,
understand
you
what you're saying, Box. Absolutely.
Okay,
I agree
now,
with
but,
that.
But hold on.
I agree with
okay,
that.
Now, hold on, no. Okay, now, hold on, though, Brandon. Now, you got a legitimate point right there because I traveled across Montana and I passed a couple of the reservations. The poverty was horrible. You see what I'm saying? And just to feel the degradation
yep.
in the air. And then as the first time that I crossed Montana, I spoke with a Native American woman and she asked me straight out. She says, why in God's name did your people, meaning black people, people of African descent, foundational black Americans, those of African descent, why did your people help the white man take my people to the reservation? You see, this is why I appreciate a dude by the name of Sitting Bull, okay? Because Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, they went and sat down and smoked a peace pipe one night, man, back in, say, 1876, around June, okay? And so Crazy and Sitting Bull are sitting down and said, hey, man, we got to go step to the chief of the Arapaho because off our intelligence reports, he's got scouts going out there letting old Yellowhead know where we're at and our
mm-hmm.
Okay, so they wouldn't step to the chief of the Arapaho, and they says, look, man, check this out. It's like this. We know what you guys are doing, man, and also two old yellow hairs on his way out here. But me and the Crazy Horse, we just went and smoked this peace pipe right here, and we're smashing this MF as soon as he gets here. Now, you either with this thing or you're not. And if you're not, man, let us know right now because we will kick you off the planet as well, too. Now, that's what I call effective diplomacy. Now.
And
but
that
Brandon Johnson.
You're describing the exact
please let me,
person
okay,
and people
okay, please let
that
me,
run this country.
Let me finish. Okay, please let me finish. Me run the country, I would be assassinated, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying
okay.
the people we're talking about, like he wants to make that deal and send out the scouts. You know what? These people that have been hiding behind the blacks, the reds, the
mm-hmm.
whites,
mm-hmm.
everybody else,
mm-hmm.
they hide behind them, this cult
uh-huh.
following, and they've
mm-hmm.
they've driven a wedge between the whites and blacks. They've done nothing for humanity ever.
Okay, but hold on, my man. Now, let me explain something to you about the wedge between whites and blacks, okay? If I had owned you, man, you know what I'm saying? Let's say I'm a white man, and you can comment on this here too, Joe Gibson. If I owned you, and if I was violating your wife on a regular basis, man, and hitting you with a whip going upside your head, making you work from sun up to sun down, you're not going to be too fond of me, are you?
Well, I'm going to tell you what.
Of course you
me.
Won't.
No,
man,
Mr. Bach,
people,
I'm not.
Hey,
but yet that hasn't happened,
people.
And it doesn't happen today. And it didn't happen to you either.
My wife all
I
the
believe,
time, but, you know.
I've always said that you guys should have said, hey, you know what? How many, there's a property owner. You got a couple other people in there, maybe some hands, some ranch hands, whatever you want to call them. and there's 25 of you guys, you should have got up and beat the hell shit out of every damn one of them for trying to make an impression to own somebody. How are you to own somebody? You don't have that word.
Okay, Brandon. Hold on
a second.
I wish
that would have happened.
Glad you brought that up.
But here's the thing.
Hold on, Brandon.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about the original people. The original people that had the money to fund the voting to bring black slaves over here, and where they set up shop in New York, in Louisiana, or down south. And you know what? The same people are in the same group of this cult. I'm telling you, they've been doing this from day one. Since they Christ ran them out of the money changers. They ain't changed a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold that thought right here. I always do this here to Sergeant. You familiar with what I'm getting ready to say, Joe Gibson? Point number 7. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We want all police and special agents to be excluded and restricted from school premises. You see what I'm saying? And then on top of that right there, you see, this here is a 10-point program of a certain organization and a platform, okay? So therefore, so what a gentleman did, who was a law student, by the way, okay, he had read the Second Amendment and said, hey, we got the right to defend ourselves. So therefore, this individual started in a place called Oakland, California, okay? And he would go out and advise the people who were being harassed by the Oakland Police Department about their constitutional rights. And then also, too, he was exercising the Second Amendment rights. And then there was a dude, man, who had sexual deviant behaviors when he was running an organization called the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You know, you might have heard of these guys, because they were kicked in the front door of a 21-year-old man who was sleeping in his bed on the west side of Chicago with his pregnant wife, and they put over 35 bullets in him. And they made an example out of him. Okay, this is a human rights violation. You see what I'm saying? We ain't even dealing with the racial trip right here. The human rights violation. And the only thing that this man was doing was feeding kids breakfast, man, on their way to schools in the inner cities of Chicago, Oakland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New Orleans, Louisiana, Des Moines, Iowa, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. But they declared these guys public enemy number one. But the same group of people, as long as they go to this sick place called Los Angeles, California, and get up there on TV and make buffoons up out of themselves and all of that, they call that their progress. You know, Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, step and fetch it, and all that old type of bullshit. See, that there makes the people take this here very, very personal, just like with the indigenous people. You know, as I pass this place called Little Bighorn, one day, you know what I'm saying? Very spectacular. Montana is beautiful. So, hey, man, I appreciate what Sitting Bull did. You see what I'm saying? And then what happened? The U.S. military came and got Sitting Bull, lured him to some place in 1890, and they killed him simply because this man was protecting his nation. Actually, his real name is Tatanka. You see? So I will refer to him as Tatanka. See, that was his name. You see what I'm saying? But then old yellow hair comes out there. And he went on and smashed them. So therefore, they went up there, man, you know, invading that man's home. You see what I'm saying? And he's just supposed to sit there like the slave did, scratch his ass when it don't itch, grin when ain't nothing funny, Master Charlie. You know, you the boss, and I love you. Bullshit. And not to mention the fact, it's unmanly, you see. So when you talk about the governor of Florida, I call him the panties, and I'm stating that he is a man that wears women's underwear that they refer to as a transvestite.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He
stinks. Yeah, he's stinks.
From the synagogue of Satan as well.
Okay, and then, and then not to mention the fact that this man has a JD degree and he was a JAG in the U.S. Air Force, and he's coming up with some asinine shit like this right here. Oh, no, well, critical race theory, that makes white people feel uncomfortable. Hey, man, Do you know how uncomfortable my people was on them plantations of Mississippi and Alabama, man, working from sun up to sundown, and then with the daylight savings time, they even gave them extra more hours to work out there on the plantation? Because you and I was discussing that there earlier, Sister Akshita. You see what I'm saying? Okay, see, so therefore, man, you know, America cannot ignore the fact that it has a whole lot of blood.
I put the facts in the chat room.
Okay, hold on, Joe.
The DeSantis is pitiful.
Okay, DeSantis belongs.
Trump is no different. Let's get one thing straight. Trump ain't no different. Trump and DeSantis are hand in hand.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you talking about the dump as in human shit? And I want to make that perfectly clear. You're talking about that guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm.
Okay,
yeah,
now
call me Brandon again, Shabaka. I'm going to have to come down and we're going to arm wrestle or something because ain't no Let's Go Brandon here with that bum.
Okay, now Joe Gibson, I'm going to respond to you. Okay, Joe Gibson got right here. And now I want to make sure I'm saying these names correctly. Okay, W-A-U, Wow, Bani, okay. In Wabani, Ogogo slaves were sold through the port of Calabar and Bani in the south of what is known today as Nigeria. Now, Joe, I told you this here once. I'm going to tell you again. To keep in mind that the ones who they went, man, and got the slaves from, man, they were captured also. So please recognize that fact, Joe. Please recognize that fact. I was okay, too. Now, Joe was talking about Benin, which is West Africa, less than a mile from what was once West Africa's biggest slave port. That there would mainly be by the Portuguese. Am I correct in that there, Brother Chief? Benin, was that the Portuguese or was that there the Spaniards? Brother Che. Okay.
I'm sorry,
all right.
I didn't hear the question. What was the question?
Okay, over here in the Benin. Okay, in Benin. Okay, wait a minute. This here would be the Portuguese. Okay, all righty. Less than a mile from what was once West Africa's biggest slave port, the departure point for more than 1 million people in chains stands a statue of Francisco Felix de Sousa, a man regarded as the father of the city. A man regarded as the father of the city. Now, how the hell is he going to be the father of the city? And he's Portuguese, man, and he's in West Africa. Two different points. Okay, Joe, he states right here, for over 200 years, powerful kings in what is now the country of Benin captured and slow slaves to the Portuguese, French, and British merchants. Joe, once again, I'm going to tell you again for the umpteenth time that ones that did the selling were captured also. So please remember that fact, please.
No, they weren't.
Slaves,
no, they weren't.
Men, women, and children. Yes, they were, Joe. It's because the sources that I got.
You have no evidence. You have no evidence of that. You have no evidence to back that up.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do, Joe.
I have a question.
Yes,
I got a question, a real question. All right. So I'm going to read something real fast. It says, I was talking about Trump, right? It said, President Trump's anti-sanctuary executive order is currently enjoyed nationwide. Although that decision has been appealed, the executive order that threatens to defund sanctuary cities cannot be enforced right now. This says the President and Attorney General's threat to defund sanctuary cities are hollow because any such defunding would be unconstitutional. Pause. The Department of Justice admitted in much of a hearing in federal court arguing the executive order is just political posturing and does not actually change the law, although President Trump and Attorney General Sessions continue to threaten sanctuary cities with unconstitutional defunding. A federal court determined that such defunding would violate the 10th Amendment, the spending power vested solely in Congress, and procedural and substantive due process protections. Okay, now here's my question. The question is this. If this is not a real thing, right, because accordingly that what he was talking about never passed into law, the 1333 or whatever, right, in regards to sanctuary cities. Now, if that's the case and you want to defund all this because everybody's getting funding for it, why does the Congress continue to stand in the way of that and continue to pocket the money?
Yeah, because they get their palms greased. Yeah, yeah, well, you said it yourself, Lady Che. They're getting their palms greased. Now, Joe Gibson, back to you, okay? I'm going to show you a contradiction that you just did to yourself, okay? Is that you stated here in your last comment, for over 200 years, powerful kings in what is now the country of Benin captured and sold slaves to the Portuguese, French, and British merchants. These slaves were usually men, women, and children from quote-unquote rival tribes, okay? Tribe is a primitive term, Joe, so please use the word nation. So therefore, when they gagged and jammed them to the boats bound for Brazil, Haiti, and the United States, this is like what I said on your podcast, Joe. Well, hell, man, you know, like, see, you know, we got 1,500 of them in here, but we got room for another 500 more. So let's go get the ones who we got them from to make up this other 1,500. So then what they did, Joe, is that they came back and started using all kind of brutalization and just start capturing black people, period, there on the continent. And keep in mind, Joe, see, this here happened from the 1500s, man, going up there to the earlier part of the 19th century, you see. And this is why old boy, who is a raping, slave trading pedophile himself,
how could they,
by the name
how could
of
they, Shabaka? How? How could they come there and overcome the nations like that? I mean, the whites and the Portuguese, they were so underdeveloped,
okay,
and you built everything over there.
Okay, hold on, Joe. Hold on a second. The same tactic that they used here in the United States, what they did to the indigenous people here. When these pilgrims came, it was the first thing they did that they gave the members of here this nation, they gave them blankets with smallpox. You see what I'm saying? You know, and the Europeans came here with cannibalism, my man. You know what I'm saying? Joe,
cannibalism. These are the same people, but they were so powerful enough to overcome them, though, right? They were to capture them and overcome the indigenous people. They were so weak and disease-ridden, they were still overpowered the Indians, right? That makes no sense.
No sense,
what you're saying.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Brandon answer that one. That's right up your alley,
they
Brandon.
Had
guns. Your response to that.
They had guns. Guns.
They
had
guns.
That's a contributing factor.
Uh-huh. Right.
Not just that is ridiculous. Go ahead. Go ahead, whoever's talking.
How about
Jesus,
this? Let me quote one Shabaka's people, Louis Farrakhan. How did I get to be an anti-Semite? What have I done? I told the truth about the Jewish involvement in the slave trade. If you have not seen Mr. Farrakhan's speeches about the slave trade, I recommend everybody get it because it brings to
Okay, Brandon.
It's unbelievable.
I saw him speak. Okay, I saw him speak in Los Angeles. Okay, in 1985, and you know why I went and saw him speak. Okay, you know why I went and saw him speak is because I'm sitting there, man, after a hard day at work, sitting on my couch, man, you know, about to open me up a beer beverage, you know, a light drink. Okay, the governor of California by the name of George Duke Mason comes on the TV and says, ladies and gentlemen, don't go see Louis Farrakhan speak at the L.A. Forum. Okay, then Tom Bradley, when he was alive, man, you know, another Brandon Johnson, you know, L.A.'s version of Brandon Johnson, comes on TV. Don't go see Louis Farrakhan speak at the L.A. Forum tonight. Okay, now, Duke Mason, you the governor, you said don't go see him speak. Bradley, you the mayor, you said don't go see him speak. Guess what? I'm going to go see him speak. Just on the basis of
Absolutely.
You telling me not to. You see, it's because if you got these two individuals, you know, who are the chief executive of a municipality and the chief executive of a state saying not to go see this individual, then I want to hear what he has to say, regardless if I agree or disagree with him, is because I'm just giving, you know, my fellow black man, you know, his respect because he's requesting the presence of the black community. You see what I'm saying? Okay? And this
Absolutely.
Is kind of like, go ahead.
The Nation of Benin had publicly acknowledged their role in the slave trade because there's still a nation
today.
No,
because they got their heads bumped, Joe. They got their heads bumped. They got their heads bumped. You got outside influences, man, you know, dividing that continent, man, just like when the colonizers had came there. Just like when them dudes, man, who didn't bathe properly, you know what I'm saying, and they women didn't know nothing about feminine hygiene, and they had to go up there to Somali women, you know, to ask them that, what is this? And I'm going by what people is telling me from the continent, Joe. You see what I'm saying? Hey, man, this don't mean that we hate you. This don't mean that we dislike you, but we're not going to sit here and hate ourselves of the great past of where we come from. And I'm sure Brandon will agree with me on that with his heritage. Now, also,
well,
Brandon,
if you went over there, they probably wouldn't accept you. They, you know, I mean, it's
here's
just,
my thing
they're
about
still battling
that,
over there.
I agree.
Okay,
agree,
all right, but you see, Joe, Malcolm X said went over there to bridge that gap. But go ahead, though, Brandon. Yeah, and then keep in mind, Brandon, let me just say this.
I got names of owners of boats. I got the names of the boats that they had. I got actual, I'm looking at documents right now, ship names with all these people that came over here. You know what? And they control all the money in this world. They are going to control all the gold when it comes to the power shutting down. And don't think it's going to be any different because that's what's happening. These people are
going to be
held responsible to pay us our money.
Okay. Now
Aaron
the first two names that you should have.
Jacob Franks. You know?
And then also, too.
Bob Zoo.
Okay, and then Lloyd's of London as well, too, because they insured the slave ships.
Absolutely.
And then the Hartford Insurance Company. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So you're proving Dr. Joyce DeGruy's point right there is because she's at the end of her feasibility study. We are reaching out to Dr. DeGruy to come join us and to share the great knowledge that she has. Now, the thing is that you have to understand, people, that this is not hatred. They shadow ban this platform, okay? You see what I'm saying? Because they hate the popular version of what is truth. Okay, now, Joe's got right here in the chat room. Okay, Joe, you said for over 200 years, powerful kings in what is now known as the country have been in capture and sold slaves to the Portuguese, French, British merchants. The slaves are usually men, women, and children from quote-unquote rival tribes. Please don't use the term tribes. Say rival nations, okay? Gag and jam them into boats bound for Brazil, Haiti, and the United States. Okay, Joe, so you just sat there and proved my point right there is when they said, hey, that when they went down there, man, and bought them from the African kings, well, you know what, man? Yeah, we got 250 of them in here, so we're going to go jam, say, about another 150 of them in there, man. So they went to the cat man who had sold it to them in the first place and threw his ass down in there as well.
Let me say something about that because I know I have documentation. I thought when I was told that the slave trade, the boats and whatnot that would come over here, I'm thinking of, I don't know why, I was thinking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. That's not true. What happened is these boats weren't that big. You have to remember, to go through the Golden Triangle, they are big, but listen, the Golden Triangle to make that trip is a three-month journey from Africa to the coast here, okay? That's one way. Now, I thought there would be all kinds of, like, excessive people and that they're chained and they're – and I don't know why, but the complete lunacy of how they projected our history and what they told us. I have evidence that what they told me is not only wrong, but it's not – doesn't even touch what they did to you guys coming over because I'm going to say something you may not have ever heard. Maybe you have. Let me know. When they brought you guys over and they would be no more than 50 – to 60 on the biggest boats owned by these Jews back then. That's the biggest. Now, when they put you guys in the bottom of these boats, you have to remind yourself, 3 months on the water, you're chained together. I thought, okay, they're going to go to the bathroom. Or no. What they did was they shackled these men, women, and children, and they six across on the floor, lay down, shoulder to shoulder, an inch apart. They put a plank of wood across the top of them, across their shoulders, and across their backs of their buttocks. They make the next six lay on top. They stack them that 50 high, like a pile of skids. And guess what? You don't get up to go to the bathroom. 3 months.
No, that's just it, though.
Ten.
Okay, but that's just it, though.
They said one out of every 10 slaves on boats made it alive to the Americas for one reason and one reason only, disease. They were
okay, hold it. Hold it, Brandon. Hold
it.
You're right. Okay, but hold on, Brandon. You're right. And then, of course, as they died, they just threw them off the overboard, man.
Absolutely.
Because the sharks, you know, that's how they ate is because the sharks were known to follow the slave ships from the coast of West Africa over in here to the eastern part of
the
United States, down
the
to the Caribbean, down along, down along Brazil, down there to Argentina as well. To, you know, the sharks ate good. Let me ask you a question right there.
A drop of blood. 80 miles away, they can smell a drop of blood in the water.
Maybe the sharks need some reparations, too.
Okay, so you said the sharks need reparations.
No, they should pay, too. I mean, because you said they were following the slave ships. Come on, Chewbacca. Where's the proof of this?
Joe.
What did they do?
Okay,
I mean, how is this documented?
Okay, I'm going to
find
the truth. Okay, I'm going to, okay, hold on 1 second, Brandon.
Hey, hold on, Brandon,
because here I'm about to.
Shababu, don't call me Brandon.
Well, my name ain't no Shababu, man. What is your name?
What is your name?
T. Okay. Now, another thing, though, too, Mr. T. Okay. Hold on, Mr. T. Another thing. Don't you ever mock my name on my podcast. You know, I'm happy to have you, man, but I will not tolerate disrespect.
Ever.
Okay. Now.
Yeah.
Joe. Okay, and I apologize too, sir, if I offended you in any way. But like, I love going back and forth with Joe right here, is because I'm getting ready to come off the road. You know, with the flurry.
Well, I got a link in there proving my point with photographs of the actual descendants from
the Washington Post, Joe.
How about the photograph? Is the photograph fake?
Okay, hold on a second, Joe. Okay, I can't pull up my photographs on.
Everything's fake nowadays, Joe.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Here, the Washington. Okay, no, Joe's citing an article here out of the Washington Post. The world African and African country reckoning with this history of selling slaves. Okay, now you see once again. All right, this is where the neo-colonialism comes in. Now, the neo-colonialism is those who are being colonized carrying on the patterns of the colonizers. This is why it's called neo-colonialism. This is why you need to check out a dude by the name of Thomas Sankara that they had assassinated in 1987, is because he was down and he was against the neo-colonialists. Sister Marion Makeba has stated, or commonly referred to as Mama Africa, and do let me give her credit, is because she sang the introduction a musical piece called African Sunset. Okay, she has stated in the 1960s, okay, and she was also the wife of Kwame Ture, and she was also the wife of the great trumpet player, the one and only Mr. Hugh Masekela. Okay, she has stated that what we do in our society is that our history is translated orally, and I'm sure that some of the Native Americans have done that as well too. Don't nobody hang up. We're going in overtime. Okay, and so as Miriam Makeba would say, is that the Griots will come down, tell us the history, and he's going to be there for every bit of 3 days, and he's telling you, take your notes right now, because I'm only going through this here once. And then he would say that we have been here, but in Western society, we were not considered being in existence until the European came down there and said, poof, you exist, which is ridiculous. Okay, and those are my words. Those are Mary Makeba's words and not mine. Okay, and then not to mention the fact that over there for those valuable resources, the diamonds, the gold, the tungsten, the bauxite, they over there getting right now, you guys, silicon. You know, the thing that makes these laptops work, man, and your smartwatch and your dumb phones and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, that's coming out of there, too, is because what I used to do, I used to go there, man, to Frisco Bay, and I used to watch those cargo container ships go over there, man, you know, over there to the Port of Oakland, and they unload them, and where's all those cargo containers? You know, it's straight to San Jose, California, in Menlo Park, Silicon Valley, you see, and don't nobody hang up. We are on a countdown, you know, okay, and we have 720 here, 470, okay, I'm going to unmute that mic, okay, yeah, that Brother Che. Okay, that's Brother Che.
Yeah, I'm back
Brother
in the studio.
We're in overtime right now, and we have an excellent conversation right here, and and Joe Gibson here, man, was putting down here, you know, something about the Portuguese. He cited Felix da Sousa, and all right, wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second here. Okay, he has a link right here that I cannot click, okay? And he stated that that Eulalie, or Eulalie, if I'm saying it correctly, is descended from a slave who was brought to Cheetah from what is now Nigeria in the late 1800s and married off to a resident of the city, okay? And this is in the Washington Post. But what it is, though, Joe, over the years that you and I have been going back and forth on your platform and on my platform is this, man, okay? You have your beliefs, man. You know, you're an intelligent man. You know, you're educated, and I do know the word is educated. Brother Che is an intelligent man. He's educated. Okay, I'm a semi-intelligent man. Maybe senility is starting to set in at my old age, and I'm somewhat semi-educated.
But truth is not relative. Truth is not relative. There's only one truth. It's not you're right and I'm right. There's only one truth.
Joe. Only thing I know is this, man. Okay,
glad
I know what I'm talking about.
You finally realized that, Joe.
Okay, all righty, Joe. I know what I'm talking about because I'm not going to get on public airwaves and make an ass out of myself talking loud and saying nothing. That was a great song by a dude named James Brown, man. You need to pull it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, what has happened is, Joe, is that these United States that you love so much, man, is full of hypocrisy. They are full of shit. I mean, it works in theory, you know, the freedom of speech and what have you. But then when you had that transvestite who ran FBI, just like that other transvestite you got down in Florida, you know what I'm saying? I woke there on these white folks, yeah, so I'm comfortable and all that bullshit.
And no other country around the world is a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Only the United States, right? Only the United States is a corrupt hypocrite.
No. Right? The United States biggest hypocrite. Or the
biggest.
We never said the United States was the only country that didn't live up to what they said they were.
Okay, yeah, Brother Chase said it better than me. Thank God for his youth. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what happens when you get old, and that's why Brother Chase, the co-executive producer and co-host of this platform, is a very, very knowledgeable man. You, Joe Gibson, are a very knowledgeable man, but due to your background, your perspective, you know what I'm saying, is because you've never been black, okay, and I don't care how many bad wenches you bed with, okay, you do not know what it's like to be a black male in the United States of America. And, of course, and I don't mean no disrespect to no black women with that last statement that I made, okay? Yeah, so I'm saying that there for all the ladies right there, black women, I didn't mean no disrespect right there. I'm just simply bringing up some hard and ugly truths. Now, Joe, I got to ask you this right here. And the gentleman who I mistakenly refer to as Brandon, and what is your name again, sir? Because put your name right here. I'm sorry?
Octavius. You can call me Octavius if you remember. Just I'm not Greek either.
Okay.
I usually go by
Dave. Okay, now keep in mind.
I wanted to address something that you said earlier. So, Octavius, you said that we were lied to about the transatlantic slave trade and the numbers.
How many people they can actually get on a boat. I was told in high school there was 200 people on a boat maybe. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, it all depends
on
the size of the ship.
Now, you have to take into consideration, I'm talking about the numbers of slaves that came over here. I don't have the exact number. I got it somewhere. I can look it up. But you guys have to, a lot of people don't remember this. America wasn't the actual, the funneling of the majority of the slaves. This was just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, that there would be Brazil. Yeah, but you mainly have to go to the Portuguese here in Brazil and with the French, okay? It's because the French, let me see if I got it right, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Akshada. Okay, that deal would be down there, ma'am, like around Louisiana, Arkansas, okay, because New Orleans was a major slave port. Charleston, South Carolina was a major slave port. And so was the place where Freddie D. beat his slave master and had to jump on the ship. Maryland. Yeah, Maryland. Yeah, near Baltimore, Maryland. You know what I'm saying?
I'm looking at a piece of paper right now that says auction sales by Jacob Cohen on Monday. Like it's so small I can't even hardly read it. But I'm looking at a piece of a newspaper from 1850. It's from the Charleston Mercury, March 16. Mm-hmm. And $1,200 to $1,250 for Negroes. I mean, I'm a white guy, but I'm just like you, Shabaka. I'm not going to go out on the airwaves. I'm not going to go outside of my front door and say anything that I don't have any knowledge of. And if I don't know it, I'm not going to speak on it. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to do the research and figure it out. I know for a fact that this country is headed for disaster because the people that have done the things that they did to you people in your time, what they came here and did to my people, and what they're doing to everybody today is I don't even know how to say it. I get so frustrated because I hate to call them Jews because they're not Jews. They're all the synagogue of Satan. They're the people that claim to be that. They're just a bunch of bums that are pedophile cults. All of them, the Zionists. And it's mind-boggling to me that people won't listen, you know. But when it's the problem, the mainstream media has the brainwash. All you get to hear is the same repetitive thing. Just like in high school, I was told so many things. I sat down with my history teacher about 3 months ago before he died. And I'm going to tell you what. I showed him evidence. And he looked at me and I said, Mr. Lansinger, I said, what did you teach me that's actually true? And he looked at me and said, Dave, he goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I showed you who showed me. So the indoctrination comes way, way back because what they were doing to us and you guys, they are now doing it to our own kids and our grandkids. We don't wake up. We don't wake up.
We always got to direct our anger towards somebody and blame somebody, right?
If it's
absolutely it is. If it's not held accountable.
This sounds like some David Icke talk.
I mean, Joe, are you not supposed to be held accountable if you do something wrong?
Who's going to be held accountable, Kay? Who are we holding accountable? Ghosts?
So what are you talking about?
That's another thing I was going to bring up. The Constitution of this country is a farce.
Who are we holding accountable?
Okay, even if that's the case, what are your thoughts on reparations, Octavius?
Let me tell you something, because every time I say, you tell me or you show me evidence of somebody that's committed treason on anything what they swore an oath to this country in the last 10 years, let's just call it. You want to call it 20, I don't care. I was served time in prison who's been executed for the unjust of this country by treason. Now, I'm staring at a guy, Mr. Potato Head, that's well deserved of it. He's
what
the Constitution says? The Constitution is? The Constitution aren't anything for you to stand by because they don't need a right. You don't have these rights. All that is to lead you to someone that has a law and it can be appealed. If it's not a law, an actual law, everything that we think of as a constitutional right is bullshit. They can come.
Okay.
They can take your First Amendment. They're doing it. They're doing it right now. And when they take the First Amendment, everybody thinks, well, they can't do that. We're going to stand up because that's our constitutional right. Well, guess what? Look at it. Read it. Listen to see all the people that have violated constitutional rights and where they're at. They walk among you every day. They're not. The Constitution is bullshit. It's been a bullshit thing to keep everybody in bay until they can put this plan together to screw everybody, and that's what they've done.
Okay.
I'm wrong because the only thing that we have is the Second Amendment, right? The Second Amendment, and that's only because it allowed us to own weapons, which they didn't think that every person in America, 750 million guns would be purchased. They didn't plan on that. So what they've done is they stirred the pot. Now they want to take your First Amendment. They've done it. You can't put out flyers.
Okay.
You can't call people anti-Semite crap. All this free speech is gone. Gone.
Okay.
You don't have any speech because if you say something, you're going to...
So ignore the Constitution and respect the law.
The law is of the
basically,
land. The common law is the constitutional sheriff is the law.
Okay, so basically,
okay, so the law
is the
law
saying.
Is the law of the land, and the
Constitution
is just like a suggestion
yet.
Only.
Yeah, what is the law worth?
Well, the law, we have to look at it like this, because if we look at how you want to talk about maritime, or you want to talk about any type of law, where you have all this case law and all you have one after another of all this bullshit, all it is another piece of literature to provide someone else another reason to employ someone in their position that's related to somehow or another. You have all this, mm-hmm. It trickles down, it goes into the prisons, it goes into your politics, it goes everywhere. The laws should only probably be about, let's call it maybe, I don't know, let's say not the Ten Commandments, there might have to be 15 or 20. But if you can't have the common sense as a human being to have the dignity to get up and wave to your neighbor, go about your business, pick up something, help the elderly, not molest children, not murder people, not be a drunken maniac on the highway, and do ignorant bullshit, anything ignorant that you wouldn't want done to you, you don't do it to anybody else. That should be the law.
Okay, but hold on, though, Octavius.
Real quick question, sir.
Okay.
Octavius, is this factual?
Go ahead, Lady Chase.
And if so, where can a person read just to develop their own opinion and get more information? Question mark.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to find that right here. I had it. I was going to read you guys something. Give me a minute or two.
Okay,
you guys
we got all these
second.
Scholars in
something.
Here this evening.
Yeah, because research is everything in my world. I would just like to read for myself.
Okay, hold on. Going back here to the library. Okay, going to the library right here. Okay, all righty.
I call it
okay, all right, but hold on. Let me read something else right here. Okay, so... Let me see. Okay, go ahead, Octavius. Go ahead and read what you're going to read, man. It's because
I'm
pulling
up
something
now.
Up right here. Okay.
See Joe Gibson's difference between helpful and ignorant?
Have you guys seen...
man, you talk about... Okay, Octavius.
Do you guys... Are you familiar
you're
with the name
of
Mark Fisher? Do you guys... Shabakas, do you guys know him, Mark Fisher?
The name rings a bell. Enlightenment.
Okay. Let me quote Mr. Donald Dump. Spoke with Mark
as
Fisher
a human
yesterday.
Shit. And please make the Octavius, when you
Donald
say Donald Dump.
Dump
as in human shit, and please make that perfectly clear.
Yep. Zionist lying prick, is what I'll call him. A great guy, Mark Fisher. Very honored to have his and BLM support. I have done more for black people than any other president, including Lincoln, in 10 years, funding for historically black colleges and universities where they had nothing, opportunity zones, criminal justice reform, and much more. Thank you to the guy that's a Zionist, pedophile, believe in Judaism, think it's okay to molest and sodomize young boys. Rape's okay to the age of three for a young girl because her hymen will heal. That's their belief.
Yeah, that's sick shit.
They stand by it and they hide. That's because
they're
occult, they're demonic, and they're all bunches of pieces of shit.
Okay. All righty, Octavius, you'll get no argument from me.
You
and then add fuel to your fire. Okay, then let me add some fuel to your fire, Octavius. In the great state of California, Gruesome Newsom. Who was that there, Brother Che, that he had signed legislation that was introduced in the California State Assemblyman by someone from San Francisco that stated is that a pedophile can violate a child just as long as he is over the age of 10. Yeah, that's sickening. That is sickening. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Poor child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That is sickening. You see what I mean? And,
now,
and this is why.
A little bit deeper, see what
yeah,
you're
okay, enlighten us, Octavius. Okay,
so
enlighten us, Octavius. That
Zionist.
I don't know. Okay.
He's a Zionist.
Okay.
That's exactly what they, you know, they haven't changed since Jesus has been around. They're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
They call us all. We are. If you are not of their blood and their belief, you are goyim. You are nothing more than cattle. They specifically call us that, mm-hmm. the Gentile and the cattle. And in order for their Messiah to return, because their Messiah was here. They were God's chosen people until they spit in his face and they hung him on a cross, okay? So these mm-hmm. idiots decided that they're going to go do their own thing and worship bulls, pedophilia, black cult magic, all this garbage. Now,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to do? They're going to run the countries and they're going to make sure everybody suffers because they are guilty. And Christ said, when I come back, my mm-hmm. tongue, I'm not going to walk around with rose-colored glasses on and my hair blown in when my tongue is going to be a sword. And I will destroy mm-hmm. the nations that have spat on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
America will fall. All mm-hmm. great countries
okay.
fall.
Yeah, like all your empire.
Mm-hmm.
The success of
okay.
an individual
Babylon.
Is usually damnation for his children. Luxury, innovation,
mm-hmm.
kills. And this is the reason that the race has made such a slow and painful progress. All
mm-hmm.
one generation gains is lost in the next. The great nations have
mm-hmm.
died off from the earth simply because they have succeeded. That's terrible. When they're not talking about race as in culture. We're talking about, this is from a book from 1830, a race
mm-hmm.
as in the human race. Once you start to succeed, they smash you. They
mm-hmm.
can't stand the fact that we are now calling
mm-hmm.
them out. The internet ruined it. Now
mm-hmm.
people can converse.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have this opportunity like we are now with this interchanging of information. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, when you do the research, where if you watched a thing called Europa, the last battle was one of the very first things I ever saw that contradicted
mm-hmm.
everything I learned about Hitler.
Mm.
Why did they kill Hitler? Why did they kill Gaddafi? Why did they kill Saddam Hussein? Why did Libya
because
and all,
Gaddafi
all
wasn't
these
going
countries
on,
get smashed apart because they went against
the
their
standards.
Banking system? You're right.
No, that's what I was about
they
to say.
They wanted their own
yeah.
banking system to get away from it.
Oh, I see what he's saying. I see what he's
yeah,
saying.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
they, I'm not
they
saying Hitler was good. Yeah,
they
he wanted to do his own thing monetarily.
Was the program.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
This
because
you
because
think now you have this European,
the
BRICS. The countries in the BRICS are going to be the next, let's call it the Israeli-American agenda to attack, because once the BRICS goes online, you've already got China, Russia, I think
South Africa.
There's several big countries that are going to do this.
India.
They're going away from this British crown, and they are deemed, they're already brainwashing everybody. These people are the enemy. When's the last time you saw Iran in a war? An actual war.
It's been a while.
Until recently.
Right. And they're the ones that are out to kill everybody. That's this plot that these assholes, these idiots have, because there's tunnels underneath Gaza, which I can explain something to people real quick. Let me say this. I live right next to a lake, right next to it, within 15, 20 yards. The groundwater
mm-hmm.
is 10 feet. If the water goes down 15 feet, you start digging, you get to about 13 feet, you start filling up
yeah.
a hole with water. It doesn't stop. Well, guess what? The Gaza Strip,
yeah.
everything that they want there in Palestine, or whatever they want to call it, is 100 feet below sea level, and it ain't far from it. You can't have a tunneling system. Everything you're seeing over there is a bunch of bullshit, because they're killing women and children. That's over 50% of the people in that area. These idiots
mm-hmm.
are so hell-bent on this because they have got to have a war to push this against the BRICS. Anybody that's going
mm-hmm.
against their money, they want dead.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't of their blood, they
mm-hmm.
want
like
dead.
The bandwagon effect.
Okay.
Kind of like the bandwagon effect.
Okay.
It's,
right.
You know what? It's a mind-altering effect that they've put
the
in the agenda, and so many people here
on the banking and
like
the economy going.
Popular, like that.
Oh,
yep.
I know that
you
country
know,
is real. I mean, it's only 12
mm-hmm.
miles wide, man. I know they're a huge
right.
threat to everybody,
in
man.
An area that's surrounded by other countries that are Muslim.
Yeah, they all, you know,
right
they all hate them.
Right off the planet. Come on.
I know. Why can't they do that?
People,
so, yeah, it's like communal reinforcement, pseudoscience shit.
They're going to petrol.
You know, Israel's got the number three army in the world. They got more weapons than God themselves. Here, But they can't be
after we annihilate the Jews, who's next, Dave? After we annihilate the Jews, who's next?
You know what? Anybody that wants to be an asshole and unaccountable for and do and think that they're better than the next person.
We cannot go after an entire group of people that is wrong.
Joe, you know who's next?
That is wrong.
It's been going on.
Right. Don't get ahead of yourself and worry about who's next when you haven't figured out and got the problem under control now.
No, I'm not
going to
go after an entire – I'm not going to label a group of people. I'm
not
going to do that.
You're not going to be a politician and not be a Zionist and do anything.
I'm not going to label a I'm not going to label a group of people and hate every single one of them. They, you know, that's just damn wrong.
I don't hate every single one. I hate the ones that believe that it's okay to – and that's what they believe in because they say it blatantly in public. You just don't have the mainstream media or the alternative media – you notice it because they're not going to tell you that. They own it. That's the plan.
You kind of got a point on that there. Yeah, you kind of got a point on that there, Octavius. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, coming up there.
Can anybody tell me? Anyone the most published book in the world?
The Bible?
You say Joe Gibson is pejorative.
The Bible?
No. King James Bible isn't published. King James Bible is not published.
Not
okay,
published. Most
published. I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said, what you're
there's
saying
no publisher.
Is majority.
Let me see here. Let me look at something here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm looking at 10 different published versions of the Bible that everybody thinks is so right.
Who's the publisher on the King James Bible, Dave? Who's the publisher?
What's that?
Who's the publisher on the King James Bible?
Give me a second. I didn't have it stuck up my ass. Hang on a minute.
There is no publisher. It's not published.
Okay.
There's no publishing company that backs that.
Okay.
The Jews
published
didn't write it.
Published by the Zondavern Corporation, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49506 USA.
A King
Grand
James 1611 Bible. Not a NIB, not a World Translation.
Look at this one. The Holy Bible.
Not a
Gideon.
The international version.
Well, you guys are
making
my job so much easier.
Speaking of
yes,
let's see what else.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
King James Version.
Okay, we're winding down right here. We're in overtime.
In New York.
Okay, and I want to thank everybody for participating.
I'm going to send you a picture of it. Right here it is. The Holy Bible. The King James Version. This one is dated. Let me see how early this one is. 1967, I have this one, published by the World Publishing Company, 2231 West 110th Street, Cleveland, Ohio, manufactured in the United States. You want another one?
Is that the printing company or is that the publisher?
I just want to
say, hey, Shabakas,
let's be correct. Are you talking about the authorized version of the Bible by Cornelius Bull?
I'm looking at 10 different versions. I've got 10.
Or
I've got
what are you
10
talking
different
about?
Versions of the Bible.
Okay,
right
Brother Chase,
Judas?
Please start the closing comments. Okay, please start the closing comments.
About?
We are in open
time. There's all kinds of publishers of a written text.
There's one for the New Oxford Anointed Bible. Let's see what this one says.
And let Solutions go first on her closing comments because he's been most patient.
And,
okay.
Go ahead, Solutions.
He sure has.
Let Solutions go first. And she's one of our original contributors to this podcast, right along with Brother Che as well, too. Okay, all right, Brother Che, please start the closing comments because we are in overtime. We do want to make a complete episode where it doesn't get hacked in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Okay. So if you
may I continue?
Yes. Go ahead, then.
Yes, go ahead.
Then, Brother Che.
I would recommend Claude Anderson's book, Everybody Buys It. There are several that I would recommend, but I'm going to recommend the one called Powerdomics. I think that is most relevant. Yeah. I would say to you guys also, stop thinking internationally and globally and think locally. That is, elect your mayors and
the people that support your immediate community, those are the people that provide your sustenance. And they do get money mm-hmm. from D.C., by the way. But, you know, every one of those mm-hmm. sanctuary states, I think most Americans that are here agree, every one of those mayors and the rest of those elected officials should be bounced out on their keisters for disrespecting their constituents. And so don't let them get away. See, they're drawing a big paycheck. They're safe. They have bodyguards and what have you. They live totally unlike you. And so just check up on that. Make sure you understand what's going on. Vote. Get with like-minded people and vote your conscience. So those are some points. Good show, though.
Well, thank you, Solutions. All right, Sister Ashita, what is your closing statement?
I just want to say it's been very interesting. It's been nice to hear a lot of different point of views and the interaction and engagement amongst everyone on the show. I do want to say that those who control the narrative control the historical remembrance. So the books of the dead we have to put down, stop reading them, and we are the writers of our own story. We are the writers of our history, her story, our story. And unity is our salvation. We're not all going to look alike. At some different points of this call, there was a lot of non-agreement, but then at some point there was agreement. And so it seems that there can be unity. We just only have to find something to agree with and on with one another and stop finding things to argue and debate about. We're not all going to see things different. Your perspective is real to you, and how you see things, no one can deter that until you see it a different way. And the only way you'll be able to see anything or the same picture differently is to change your angle, to change your perspective. So I am Ashita Veda. I'm glad to be here. And I look forward to the next call. So y'all have a good night. Thank you.
You too, Sister Ashita. Thank you for calling in. You know, you're always welcome on our platform. We've been here since day zero. So always feel free to call in. Moving along, we got Octavius. Go ahead, Octavius, or Joe Gibson, whichever one of y'all want to go next.
Go ahead,
I'll
Joe.
Go ahead.
Page before beauty.
All right. All right. I just want to say, you know, I agree with Archiveda there. Her and I have been talking on these podcasts for a lot of years now also. So, and we've seen a lot of division and a lot of coming together over the years, and we actually have seen a lot of accomplishments. So, well, again, you know, we have to try to unite somehow, some way, and otherwise we're going to self-destruct, and then the people that are pulling the strings are going to be laughing at us. So, you know, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot of things to be said, but it was a good podcast. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. You know, you're always okay. Welcome, too, as long as you're respectful.
Oh, yeah.
I love you, Joe
Gibson.
All right, you guys. Hey, thanks. You know what? My main thing is I'd like to thank, you know, me and Joe might sound like we want to fight, and there's a lot of disagreement about things. I know what I've experienced, what I've grown through, and what I've learned now. And
mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person that I believe we could all sit down at a table. We all have a better future if we stop letting the people that control everything around us dictate who we are. We don't need those people. What we need is to be who we are, respect it, and go about your business. By doing that, we all become better people because we learn to find out who each other are. I'm learning more now through just the second call with you guys. And I'm grateful for it because I can actually say what I have learned and get maybe something, just one thing. If somebody hears it and they say, oh, maybe he is right, let me check that out. Because there's things that I heard growing up and I was taught and I was, everybody's had the same thing. And until you hear that one spark that changed everything, and that's where I believe COVID changed everything in this world for the worse for these people, because it's let people like us do what we're doing to find out who we truly are as individuals and who they are as pieces of shit. Now, once again, Bob, thank you guys. And
sure.
If it's not, if anything, if you don't hear it, I speak the truth. I'm honest, and I will die for what I believe in, and I believe in that we are all decent people, deserve a chance to get through life because we're only here one time. One time. We don't need all this ever garbage to deal with this ignorant stuff when we should be happy doing things. So what we got to do is get rid of these certified bums, and there's a lot of them, and it's only a matter of time. Sure. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, okay, Octavius, thank you for joining us.
Thank
and you do got a lot of these. Yeah, and then you do, and he's right about these certified bums, and I'm not speaking of the homeless either, and I'm not speaking of people that are displaced, but I'm talking about these no-good bums like that raggedy-ass mayor of Los Angeles, the raggedy-ass mayor of Denver, Colorado, the orange dude, you know, and then the transvestite down there in Florida, you know what I'm saying? And then also, too, and they got some of these other bums who is going to be coming to the surface as this election campaign gets on. And then I myself, I'm asking everybody else to join me when I go out and vote here. For the first time in about 20 years, I'm only voting for one person, and that is Jesse Parris, the former candidate for mayor of Denver. I'm voting for him for president of the United States. And get with me, Brother Parris, of how I can make my vote count for you for the presidency of where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And get rid of the vice president, you know what I'm saying? She flat backed her way all the way there, you know, from the mayor's mansion of San Francisco to the White House, you know what I mean? She wasn't shit as the Senator of California. She wasn't shit as the Attorney General. She wasn't shit as the District Attorney of San Francisco County. When the San Francisco police go out here and put 25 bullets in a man who was unarmed, oh, he only had a knife weighing 150 pounds, wringing wet, and you got 6'4" police officers in a half circle, so that proved their intent, and he didn't book them. So miscarriage of justice and did not give the people of San Francisco equal protection under the law, let alone equal protection for Mario Woods. And Madam Vice President, and I will always hold that there against you because of the years of me living in California. I paid your damn salary, and I did not like what I paid for with you drawing a paycheck from the state of California as the Attorney General. Hate to tell you that, sister, but the truth is the light. But the only thing I can say about you in a positive way, Madam Vice President, you were born in Alameda County, the birthplace of the Black Panther Party in California. That's it. That's my closing comment. Okay. All righty. Thanks, sister. Yeah, that was my closing.
Lady K, are you still with
us? Yep.
Yeah, I see you in the queue.
Okay,
your closing comment.
Yeah, thank you, Octavius. Here we like to look up facts. We like facts and things, evidence, things that are based around facts, or you know that we can develop an opinion and proceed from there. So thank you for the insight. Yeah, it is difficult to come to some sort of agreement. I do agree with Sister Ashita. And thank you, sister, for always coming through. We definitely need are grateful for your presence.
Thank you,
I want to say this. I love you too. Yeah, and thank you to Solution and Joe Gibson. It's always a enjoyable treat. My nemesis, Shabaga. I want to say this though. Feel free, to stop back again, Octavius. You know, like Grand Rising on Fridays or whatever. Just
on
because
Fridays,
you know, I feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of information that you unleashed on us that you know have been hidden that might be a benefit to
people as a whole, including our people. You know, that's just what I
think.
Absolutely.
That. That's
you know,
that
we're not,
that.
We're not,
absolutely.
They're not opposed to looking at things from a tangible outlook, you know, a tangible perspective might come in handy, you know, because a lot of things that you said, you know, as you were speaking, I was looking it up and doing my own research because, you know, that's what we say anyway to people, look it up and just to develop some perspective. And there's a lot of insight that we're just sitting on, not knowing because it's been denied to us by the media and you know, it's just simple basic knowledge, you know, including the legislation and whatnot from what you said.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that, and thank you, as always, Shabaka. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
Shabaka. And then also, too. Yeah, absolutely. And also, too, I'm going to ask everybody who's still in, who's hearing me right now to please write down this right here. Write it down on a piece of paper, http://tobtr.com/s/122293326. Okay, this is an experiment, and share that there on all your social media accounts because I'm doing an experiment right here. And if this experiment goes right, okay, then it should be telling me that they are deliberately shadow banning us. Okay. But I'm doing this here as an experiment, and I'll announce on Grand Rising with Shabaka, and somebody please remind me because I'm old now. I might forget, okay, of why I did that. It's because we're being shadow banned, okay? It's because, you know, the power that be, they hate the popular version of what is truth because they still want everybody to believe in the Easter Bunny, Disneyland, and Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, with this experiment,
Brother
I'm trying to, you know.
Disconnected.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw he dropped from the queue. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so what we're going to do is that we're going to go out with a classic from the one and only Mr. Miles Davis, and everybody's hip to Miles Davis. And this is, we're going out with Milestones. And thank everybody so very, very much for joining us. Please play back our episodes. Definitely go to our like page on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. Leave us a comment. Follow us on Tweety Bird, at Shabaka, capital E-X. And I know that Musk or the stinky dude is calling it X. Okay, we're going out with Miles Davis, and the air date of this episode was December 5th, 2023. Good night.
Love you, Shabaka.
Okay, Sister Akshita, going to give you a call soon. Okay, Miles Davis, the one and only. Mm-hmm.